Welcome back to the Byline Breakdown, the podcast where we go behind the headlines. I'm your host, Mike Moliterno, and today we are digging into a piece of hidden history in northeastern Beaver Township in Mahoning County. The origins of an unusual name that probably most people aren't even aware of, Morgantown. With us today is the author of the story on this topic from the mid-March issue of the Business Journal, managing editor at the Business Journal, Dan O'Brien. Dan, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Mike. Great to be here.
So could you tell us about Morgantown? Well, first of all, most people don't even know that this area was once called Morgantown. How did you even find out about it?
It was rather unusual. There are a number of maps that date back a few years ago. Well, actually, we have a modern map in our office, if you notice, and it depicts a lot of these little crossroads and the monikers that are given to them. And there on the map in Beaver Township is the name Morgantown. And I really couldn't find it in any other modern maps around until I looked in some maps dating to the 19th century and even early into the first decades of the 20th century, where you do have some reference to this particular area known, references Morgantown. And I was curious as to why it was called Morgantown, and I just naturally assumed that it was a landowner by the last name of Morgan, hence the term. So I just happened to, let me check it out. And lo and behold, it isn't.
No, it is not.
And that's what fascinated me about the whole story. And that's what got me interested in trying to figure out what it was all about and telling a little bit about the history of this particular part of Mahoning County.
And it is a pretty crazy story.
Yeah.
So yeah. So where did Morgantown get its name?
Well, its origins date to the Civil War and the invasion of General John Hunt Morgan, Brigadier General of the Confederacy, who led a raiding party all the way through southwestern Ohio and for a number of months during the summer of 1863 before he surrenders near West Point in Columbiana County.
I'll let you go on, but just to be clear, so this is named after a Confederate brigadier general who was going through the area, yeah, causing a ruckus, just ransacking things.
Yeah, and it kind of intrigued me as to why a northern state, a Union state in an area in northeastern Ohio would earn the name after a Confederate brigadier general who is, spreading chaos throughout most of Ohio.
Not even just
a
general,
period.
One that is invading the state.
Yes, it's the northernmost invasion of the Confederacy during the war itself. And I thought it was very unusual that these crossroads in this area in Mahoning County would earn that name. So, what I found out was that it begins during the Civil War, and according to a number of accounts that I had read, one of them is General Sanderson's History of Mahoning County and 20th Century Representatives, and he goes really county by county, township by township, exploring some of their history, and lo and behold, was a couple pages of an account of Morgantown and what had occurred here. And the area got its name from an incident that occurred as Morgan was moving north. And news reached some farmers in Mahoning County who wanted to mobilize and do their part to intercept Morgan as he was creeping up through Columbiana County. And as they were moving south, this band of farmers got into an altercation, evidently, with a number of the coal miners who lived in northeastern Beaver Township. And one of them was a man by the name of Azariah Pauline, who was a known Confederate sympathizer, actually.
Right.
And I guess this altercation got fairly heated, but nevertheless, they began to move south and swept by it. On their return, they found that Pauline's farm and mine was fenced in, and hanging on the fence was a little placard that said Morgantown, and the name stuck. And so these differences between the Paulines and the rest of the community began to boil over in the years following the Civil War.
So, and basically, you know, there's more to the story, but the origin is basically this Confederate general is running amok in the state of Ohio, has invaded Ohio, is terrorizing the state, and this Pauline guy thought, what a cool dude. I should hang his name on my property.
I think it was more to aggravate the farmers than respect for Morgan, but nevertheless,
right.
The political differences were very stark here in Beaver Township at the time, and generated bad blood over the years. But what happens over the next two decades is actually kind of interesting because
right.
Now...
That's just the beginning.
Yeah, this is just the start of this feud. But what emerges is a gang basically led by Azariah Pauline, and a gang that is going to wreak havoc and chaos for 20 years almost throughout this portion of Mahoning County. And one who will pretty much move unfettered from the law and unchallenged by the law for nearly that period of time. So it's the so-called Morgantown gang that emerges
right.
out of this squabble that begins in 1863.
We'll take a quick break and we'll come back with the Morgantown gang.
Attention all business enthusiasts in Northeast Ohio and Western Pennsylvania. The Business Journal has been your trusted partner since 1984, giving insights, updates, and fostering growth in your region. From Mahoning to Mercer, from Columbiana to Lawrence, we've got you covered. For just $10 a month or $99 a year, unlock our digital troves or get both print and digital for only $99 a year. Make the smart business choice. Subscribe now.
So Dan, we've talked about the General Morgan. We've talked about this Pauline character who, you know, the more and more that I'm learning about him, I'm beginning to think he's just not such a nice fella. And so he hangs this sign on his fence, says Morgantown.
Right.
That alone probably isn't going to bring about the moniker of Morgantown. There's a ton more. So as he's fighting with his neighbors, he decides to call himself the Morgantown Gang and him
well,
and
I think
some
that's
like-minded...
the name that was ascribed to him. I don't know
sure.
if he personally selected that
well,
particularly,
they begin, yeah.
like the Hole in the Wall Gang. But here we have
so
a
they call
band of outlaws
that.
That's comprised of relatives, some of his sons,
yeah.
Also some neighbors maybe who might be living in or on his property, but some other allies as well. That are really going to turn to arson, theft,
mm-hmm.
bribery, and other you know threats, of course, of that are going to be bestowed on other neighbors, and competing coal mines. There's some evidence of fraud in double dealing and cheating people out of thousands of dollars, but in mostly the 1870s and the 1880s is when we really see these crimes come to light, and eventually the law catching up with the Morgantown gang.
What types of activities are we talking about that these people are doing for, like you said, about two decades scot-free, you know?
Well, they seem to have a talent for barn burning.
Right.
Arson seems to be a one means of intimidating the neighbors into leaving them alone. And on some occasions, a rival mine owner's property is burnt to the ground. He tries to rebuild it. It's burned again.
Right.
When he tries to rebuild once more, a shot is fired into his house. He gets the message and he moves with his wife out of town, never
right.
to return to northeastern Beaver Township again.
Why are they able to get away with it for so long?
Well, it's kind of unclear as to why they were able to evade the law, but what is clear is that few people would want to present evidence against the gang for fear of retribution.
Right.
That appears to be the reason why they cannot seem to get a conviction. It's that folks in the neighborhood who have a livelihood, you know, have this livelihood to make in their farms and their mines or whatever concern they have, are deathly afraid of these guys. They think they're going to come after them, either burn their barn, take their livestock, or do some other unsavory things that would make their lives quite miserable. So in order to sidestep any sort of agony that the Morgantown gang may bring upon them, they clam up. And there's really those folks who wanted to present evidence in court end up seemingly forgetting any sort of incidents and any sort of evidence that they could present. So they're not going to testify against the Morgantown gang here in the 1870s, mostly. That's going to change, though, in the 1880s especially.
So, yeah. So one gang member, William Cluse, I think his name is.
Yeah, yeah.
He starts to turn the tables on him. He turns Henry Hill and after he gets caught and starts. Yeah. How does he, you know, what role does he play in the unraveling of this whole thing?
Cluse is an associate of the gang, and he's taken part in a number of these instances, and he is the one that is mainly accused of burning down a neighbor's barn. And a lot of this was, I'm guessing during the economic downturn of the 1870s, probably was a factor in this sort of crime wave that began to take hold here. But by the 1880s, the economy was slowly repairing itself. But nevertheless, it was guys like the Morgantown gang who were still wielding their means of intimidation in the countryside. And Cluse was one of these associates, and he is accused of burning down a neighbor's barn, a man by the name of Blosser. And he had earlier testified falsely in a court case that involved members of the Morgantown gang who burst into a gathering at a North Lima hotel and disrupted that, wielding pistols and knives and so forth. And everything that you would imagine in the Old West, somebody bursting into a saloon and acting in the same manner. And so when charges were brought against these gang members, Cluse presented false testimony, basically, and then was charged with perjury. And that was the charge that they got them on. But finally, he began to fess up as to all the crimes that he was partial to and began naming names as he led them to the different sites of whether it was a barn burning or whether it was we stole livestock from this farm, basically, in very, very explicit details giving to investigators as to who was involved and those who would eventually be brought to justice. And it was complicated because any effort to really bring these guys to trial was always met with difficulty. In one instance, for example, local farmers hired a private detective. They paid this guy $2,500, which was an exorbitant amount of money back in, 1880 or so, 1882, 1883. And here he took the farmer's money, but at the same time wanted to engage in a criminal enterprise of his own right. So here we have a corrupt detective, a Morgantown gang running amok, farmers who have been defrauded out of $2,500 in the meantime. And ironically, the guy that turns in the crooked detective is none other than Azariah Pauline.
Right.
Spills the beans on this so-called corrupt detective and really wants justice brought down on this man and alleging that he was behind these schemes to hire them and have them do these unsavory things. But long story short, Mr. Cluse is caught. He begins to cooperate with law enforcement, and thus begins the unraveling of the Morgantown gang.
So one by one, they start getting arrested. Pauline goes on the run.
Yeah.
Ends up getting caught, dressed as a hobo or something, right?
Well, what had happened is he knew that the law was closing in, and then he decided to flee. It probably made its way into Salem, but then hopped on a train headed for eastern Pennsylvania. And in this case, a train that was going to head toward Harrisburg, PA. And it took a few months, but investigators and law enforcement officials had the word out that this is a fugitive on the run, to be on the lookout for him. And it was in, I believe it was in Harrisburg. Yeah, it was in Harrisburg, actually, that he posed as a tramp or a hobo. He was broke. He had no money. And he needed a place to stay that evening. So under assumed name, he actually got himself arrested for the night.
Yeah.
Spent a night in jail thinking that this was just a common homeless person that needed help and had too much to drink. Officials who were unaware of the situation surrounding Azariah Pauline kept him locked up for a night. Once he got out, he moved to a house of an old friend of his where he was staying and where he believed he was actually secure. That was until an alert sheriff noticed that Mr. Pauline had been receiving mail in the local post office. When he walked out of the post office, lo and behold, right across the street is none other than Azariah Pauline on a horse. And he quickly closed in and then arrested him and brought him to trial.
So he ends up going to jail for, he received 6 years, a 6-year sentence, serves
four and a half years he actually served.
Right.
He pleaded to 2 counts of the 4 counts against him. And eventually that was the effective end of the reign of the Morgantown gang.
Well, he was pretty old by this time, too.
Yeah, he was in his 50s, I think. But he wasn't in the best of health, and obviously
right.
his age factored into it. So after 4.5 years, and he essentially was a model prisoner.
They let him out on good behavior.
They let him out on good behavior, and he
was a
lived the
guy.
Rest of his life. Seemingly in obscurity in Beaver Township, but an interesting story nevertheless.
Well, and we should kind of close the, there are no Morgantown signs or anything like that.
No, nothing.
But there is still a little bit of evidence of these
Just
events.
Just one road sign.
Right.
And that's Pauline Road.
Right.
If you go down 164, the South Avenue extension, there is one thoroughfare leading into the Lake Club,
right.
Which is down that way and been developed, of course, and that's Pauline Road.
Right.
So that's the only evidence that I could see, at least, of the name. It could have been a number of different Paulines who live there. I'm not necessarily saying that's because of Azariah Pauline, but nevertheless, the family plots were in family farms were in that vicinity, certainly. Mm-hmm.
So it's a possibility.
It is a possibility.
I'm going to say it's true. So
okay.
There we go.
Go on a limb. Let's just say it is. But it's a fascinating little tale, and one that I was unfamiliar with, certainly, and thought it was really, really an interesting look at how these names arise in very unusual places and really have a history that a lot of us, including myself, aren't familiar with.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us, Dan. It's a very interesting story. Who knew that was where it came from? Thank you for listening to the Byline Breakdown. If you would like to read Dan's story, we'll put a link in the show notes. And stay tuned for another episode next week. I'm Mike Moliterno.
You wouldn't drive a car without a map. So why navigate the business world of Northeastern Ohio and Western Pennsylvania without the Business Journal? Trusted since 1984, we're the compass pointing you to growth and prosperity. Digital, print, why not both? We've got subscription options tailored for every business-savvy individual. Light up your path to success. Subscribe to the Business Journal today.